crisis at the border. And last night didn't rate very well, as you said. It was a distant third among the three major. Here's why. When you look at Gallup, after the economy and jobs, here's what rates as the top priority in voters' minds in 2020. I listed in order of importance: the governmental leadership, immigration, guns, race relations, health care, unifying the country, lack of respect for each other, crime violence, and then you go all the way down that list, you get to climate change. So here's
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Hello, how is everyone doing tonight?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Anyone hear me out there? My mic is on. This is Chris.
Can you hear everybody?
Oh, I can hear you, yes. Okay, so we're good to go. We have people coming in. We're going to have some late people coming in here in a couple of minutes. We're going to wait probably another 2 or 3 minutes. So if you're here, go ahead and put yourselves on mute while we wait for everyone else to file in. Tonight's going to be really exciting, and I'm glad you can join, so hang in there. We'll get started in a minute.
Hello?
Hello, welcome. We're waiting a few more minutes for more people to come in.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if somebody was here or not. Okay, great.
Oh, we have a lot of people in here. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Deanna, are you on the call yet? Okay.
Yes, I'm on. Hello?
Hello? Welcome to the conference
yes.
call. We're standing by for just another minute or two for more people to come in.
Okay.
Tiana, have you logged in yet?
Yes, I'm on. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, you are. You are here. Okay, good.
Okay.
All right, Tiana, this is Chris. Thank you for coming on
no
the
problem.
Call tonight. Hang on just a minute. We're waiting for maybe one more minute for more people to come in. Then we'll go ahead. We'll do our intro. We'll do a prayer, and then we'll open. We'll give you the mic for your testimony.
Sure.
Okay, I think we're about there. Let's see, Lisa, Sophia, are you guys on yet? Waiting for them too. Okay. I am going to go and get started tonight. Welcome to the conference call, Thursday night's conference call. Even though we kind of piggyback onto RMM's website, we call ourselves the SOS team or the SOS conference call. SOS, standing on scripture, when all hell breaks loose in your life, in your marriage, your family, SOS, stand on scripture. I want to go through some housekeeping things real quick. Some of you who have been on the call, you know you're familiar with this, so sorry to bore you to death. For those of you who are new or have forgotten. We do record these conference calls. Let me pull up my cheat sheet here. We do record the conference calls, and we do post them on praisereports.org website. Praisereports.org website is my website. I created it. It's full of just testimonials of restored marriages, YouTube marriage restoration videos. There's, I think, 80 of them listed there. 80. That's not even scratching the surface. There's probably 15 to 20 different written testimonials of marriage restorations. Praise, if you're not familiar with that, praisereports.org. That's the website. We also keep an archive of the conference calls on that website as well. Go visit if you haven't. You'll spend a day. Go through the marriage restoration testimonials that are there. Your faith will be boosted. Your confidence will be boosted. You'll draw closer to the Lord, believing Him and taking Him at His word that when He said He's going to do something, He will. And when God says He can, He can. And when God says He will, He will. He knows that. Some of us know that. But not all of us know that. And those of us who don't need to grow into that knowledge, because that knowledge doesn't change. God's truth is the same yesterday, today, forever. And if He did it for all those other people and for thousands and thousands and thousands of other marriages, He will certainly do it for you. You just have to stand and believe. And tonight's guest speaker is going to be Tiana, and I'll introduce her here in a minute, but she's going to share her restored marriage testimonial, and then we'll do a Q&A after that. But if God did it for her and hundreds of thousands of others before us, that'll certainly do it for you. And it doesn't matter your circumstance. God's way bigger than your biggest circumstance. Nothing's impossible. Mm-hmm. You know, with man it's impossible. With you it's impossible. With me it's impossible. With Charlene it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Your worst scenario, multiply it by 1,000, and God says, that's a piece of cake. That's Friday night stuff. What else you got for me? That's God. That's our God. That's the God that I serve and I believe in. And He's the same God that you believe in as well. But some of us have to come into that knowledge and understanding, and God's patient with doing that with us. And that's why God gives us these wonderful testimonials, because the root word in Hebrew for testimony is do it again. So if God did it for Tiana, for others, for Charlene, for all those other people, God can certainly and will do it for us. For you, for me, I'm still waiting. I'm in a waiting room, just like you, no difference. So As we get ready to move into this testimonial tonight, welcome everybody. Welcome to the conference call Thursday night. We do it every Thursday night. If you are not, look at your phone, whatever you're holding. Find the mute button. Put yourself on mute. When we open up for Q&A, I'll remind you to take yourself off of mute so you can participate in the Q&A. But for now, while we get ready for the prayer and the testimonial, please put yourself on mute because we can hear everything and pin drops in the background. When we get to the Q&A, please don't mention your spouse's name. If you want to mention your first name, that's fine. We do post these, so we try to keep the personal info down to a minimum. That's why we ask first names only and try to leave your spouse's name out. The conference call is going to go about an hour and a half. If you need to leave, you're going to dial back in. Please, if you dial back in, don't come back and introduce yourself or say hello again. Just quietly slip back in and continue listening and participating if it's Q&A. Because we've had it before where someone's in the middle of saying something really, really key, and then someone comes, hi, John, back in the conference call. And it's comical and disruptive at the same time. So love you guys, but let's see if we can play along. I think that's it for the conference call. We're going to go ahead and open up with prayer, and then I'll introduce our guest speaker for tonight. Do I have any men or women who'd like to open us up in prayer, that great, awesome privilege of connecting us with God here before we start this conference call? Anyone want to step up and connect us with God? Anyone? Okay, let me go ahead and open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We want to thank you and glory, give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, because you are an amazing God, and there is no other God like you in all the universe, even outside of the universe. So, Father, we thank you for loving us so much. Thank you, Father, for bringing us together in this conference call. Thank you for making it possible. Thank you for giving us this incredible testimony tonight that you're going to share, Father. It's a testimony. It's a testimony of who you are, your love for us, your love for our marriages, your power, your sovereignty that overrides man's will, your sovereignty that could change the coldness of hearts to the softest flesh and turn someone's heart back towards you and back towards us and our marriages and our family. And if you did it for them, you'll do it for us. Thank you, Father, for all the hope and all the faith and all the confidence and all the trust that we need, everything we need, you've already given it to us. And you give us abundantly more than what we need. And time again, like Gideon, you give us more and more and more as often as we need it so we can cling to you, your word, your truth, your promises, and we could grow in our faith, our relationship with you. So, Father, we thank you with all of our hearts for being the perfect God, the only one true God, that who we serve, that you are so mighty. We'll spend eternity getting to know you. And what an awesome privilege that's going to be. So, Father, we bow our hearts and our knees and our wills and our desires to you, Father, that you might come and in our open hearts, fill us with your truth, with your promise, with your hope of not only this marriage restoration testimonial, but the hope and the promise you will do exactly the same thing for us. So, Father, as we do this conference call tonight, Father, I pray anoint our guest speaker, Tiana, tonight with your Holy Spirit, that you might speak your truth and your godly wisdom and discernment in and through her word, her testimony, Father, that you did it for her, you will do it for us, and that we might step in that place of faith, knowing and understanding that you will do exactly that, Father, and that you have ears to hear and you have eyes to see and you have a mouth to speak and you have an arm that does reach our prodigals and our hearts and our marriages, and your arm's not too short where it cannot reach, Father, but your arm and your arm is powerful and sovereign, where you will and you can and you will do that. So, Father, we bow our hearts and our wills to you, Father, that you will grow us in tonight, in this hour and a half, grow us into that space that you want us to be in, Father, that we could accept and receive your hope and your promise. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so having invited the Lord to join us, he's here with us. He's always with us. But now I hope that some of us who need to feel his presence will feel and will hear. I want everyone to turn your hearts towards this testimonial. And don't get hung up on all the details, because the details in this testimonial will not reflect your details of your restoration. What you need to look for is God doing the impossible in your life, God doing the miraculous, God doing the surprising things. And whatever you might envision in how God's going to do it or when God's going to do it, don't count on it, because one thing that we know about God through the New Testament and the Old Testament is that he loves to surprise us because he wants to show off. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and he'll do it whichever way. He'll speak a million different ways because he can, and he likes to do that. So listen with your heart. The love that God demonstrates in what he does and how he does, how he's restored this marriage testimonial. So with that, I'm going to welcome Tiana to our conference call tonight. Tiana, thank you for taking the time to spend with us tonight and sharing your testimonial. And we're happy that you will be able to stay afterward and do some Q&A with us and everyone on the call. I'm going to give you the floor. Everyone, again, look at your phone. If you're not on mute, please mute. And then, Tiana, you have the floor. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Can you hear me well?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. Great. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I am so glad to be on, because I really feel like, you know, God has really sent me here to encourage people, because I'm telling you, when I say the God of the impossible intervened in my situation, it was the God of the impossible, because I had no There's nothing I could have done. I couldn't have prayed enough. I didn't know enough for this to happen. A little background about my husband and I. We've been married 7 years. It'll be this November, 7 years. Throughout our marriage, we encountered a lot. We both lost our mother pretty much back-to-back very quickly. You know, they both were diagnosed with cancer and passed away within, like, months of finding out. Those situations and the kids growing up, we just got more distant away from each other. The funny part about my story is I believe when Chris asked me, someone asked me how long I had been standing, I didn't even know how long because I didn't know that my husband had even, this situation with another woman had even started. Like, from what I learned, it started last August. I had no recollection, so I was in a situation that I didn't even know about. And so once I learned my husband, he's a very adamant man. Once he makes up his decision about something, he's pretty stern. He came to me one day. We were having a normal conversation, and he said he wanted a divorce. This was around like February of this year. I was shocked. Like, I couldn't believe it. We both are ministers. We were in the middle of launching a church, and like, I was just dumbfounded. I couldn't believe it. And when he mentioned someone else was in the picture, it was like the wind got knocked out of me. I was in disbelief, and he was pretty adamant that he wanted a divorce, that he felt like it was over, that it couldn't work. You know, and I was shocked. This was like February of this year. I started praying immediately. I'm a woman of prayer. I have a prayer ministry. So I started praying, and just miraculously, let me just say this. This is before he even left. He never left the house. He came to me and said, probably like a month or so later, hey, I changed my mind, and, you know, I want to work things out. You know, I'm not talking to the other woman. I want to work things out with you. You know, I love you. This was in March of this year. And we started on that journey, and I thought that's where we were. It was just him and I. Then, surprisingly, around May of this year, I learned that he had been back in contact with this lady, and he was, once I confronted him about it, he was back at the same spot that he wanted a divorce. Not only wanted a divorce, he wanted us to separate, like, to separate houses. And I was just in shock again. I'm like, okay, so I'm not even sure what's happening here because my husband told me, you know, he heard from God. He was like, when the situation first came about, he was like, you know, I knew it was a distraction from the enemy. You know, I knew that this was not where I was supposed to be. But some way he ended up back in the same situation again. One day I came home from work and he had left. Like, his clothes were gone. His things were gone. He was gone. My husband told me he was very sure, you know, he wanted a divorce. He was leaving. He told me he was going to a hotel to stay until he figured it out, you know, where he was going to go and what he was going to do. But he knew he didn't want to be in a relationship or be married, which was just shocking. I already knew. I knew that he's going to be with this other woman. Like, he's going to actually going to her house and stay with her. And that's just what I thought, even though he told me something different. During that time, me and my husband talked, of course, every day. We barely talked. I couldn't even get him on the phone. I was, as you would know, of course, when you learn something like this, I was frantic. I was hurt. I was confused. But something in me really drew me back to my place in prayer. And as I began to pray, you know, I felt led to reach out to, you know, I have a personal mentor. And then a friend of my husband's reached out to me. You know, he had been trying to reach him. He couldn't reach him. He's a pastor. And I confided in them. They were very close friends of ours, confided in both of them about, you know, what had been going on and that my husband had left and if they could, you know, be in prayer. And both of them said very surely that I should leave my husband. I should divorce him, that I should just carry on with the ministry and just leave my husband. They said I should go. They were like, oh, he's with another woman. You should divorce him. I was like, okay, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do because you think when you go to somebody, a leader in the church, you're thinking they would be for restore your marriage. But as I began to pray about it, the Lord was saying something different. And now I'm going to say this. I didn't know if I wanted to restore the marriage. I know I love my husband, but it was so painful. I didn't think I could ever trust him again. I felt like I didn't know him. I felt like he was living a double life. And I just didn't want to be, I just didn't know what I wanted. I knew I loved him, but I didn't think it could ever be fixed, never be fixed. So they were pretty sure. They were like, no, you need to leave your husband. You should divorce him. Don't worry about it. Continue with your ministry. Just continue on. So I was very confused, and what was so crazy about it is that even most marriage ministries, like if you looked on YouTube or something, like most people are saying, you know, the big, you know, ministries, hey, you know, what not to do, you know, hey, the things they were saying not to do, hey, you know, don't, you know, you shouldn't be worried about it. Move on with your life. Don't look desperate. Don't, you know, don't try to do this. And they gave me all these lists of don'ts. And the more I listened to them and listened to the leaders in my church, quite frankly, the worse it really got between my husband and I. We couldn't even have a conversation anymore. Even when we would talk periodically without an argument, we just could not even talk to each other. As I found, the ministry was kind of interesting. I was watching a video and found out about Real Marriage Ministries and found out about, you know, that there was a group. What I really found was there was a group of people who believed in standing for your marriage, which really changed everything. It's like it just opened up a door that I didn't even know there were other people that were out there that still were believing for their marriages, people that, you know, I didn't know that. And so as I began to pray, I made a commitment to God. You know, I have a prayer ministry, but I made a commitment. I was going to continue to do everything that God had called me to do. So I wasn't going to stop doing whatever, you know, I was supposed to be doing, but I was also going to be specifically praying for my husband, praying for my marriage, praying for our family. This is something I did every day. And the thing about it, the Lord really stopped me in my tracks. As I began to do that, he really stopped me in my tracks, because what I really learned is that I was praying just with the hopes in the Lord restore my marriage, which is fine. But really what I learned at that time is that I had made my husband an idol. Like, he had become an idol. I had begun to pursue my husband, or pursue to want that relationship to work so bad, more than the relationship with the Father. And I really feel like throughout the years, even in me and my husband's relationship, you know, we both came in as believers. We were both celibate until, you know, we were both have renewed ourselves to be celibate before we got married. And I felt like during that time, my relationship with God, even though the ministry was growing, I felt like my personal relationship had suffered, and so had his. Like, it wasn't what it used to be. It was about my husband first and the kids first, and, you know, God fit somewhere in between there. Ministry, he fit somewhere on the list. And he really began to show me that I had made my husband an idol. And I didn't even think that was a thing. I'm like, well, he's my husband. I'm supposed to love him. I want to be with him. But I have nothing, you know, nothing or no one does God want before him. It should be God first. If we seek the kingdom of God, then he'll add all these other things to us. And so as I begin to really settle that in my mind that, okay, so I've made my husband an idol. Okay, so what do I do about that? And I remember one time in prayer, I was praying, and the Lord began to show me. He kept asking me in the vision to hand something to him. And it was like this small box. And I was holding on to this little bitty box like, no, I want to hold on to this box. But as I began to give him whatever was in my hand, it looked like a small box. He began to fill my hands with so many things. Like, I didn't even have room enough in my hands to hold everything he kept putting in my hands. And then he, like, reached behind himself, and there was a big, gigantic, this dream was like everything was golden. It was a big, gigantic golden wagon, and had more boxes in it. And it's like the Lord was saying, if you hand me, if you surrender your husband to me, if you trust me with your husband, if you trust me to control the situation, then I have much more for you. This is little to me. And so that really became the turning point in my prayer life. And so not only was I praying for my husband, is the Lord began to show me myself. And I really began to think differently about my husband, because first I was like, well, he's doing this to me, and he's doing that, and he left, and this is happening. And, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This is against a war between principalities and wickedness in heavenly places. And so as I began to take my eyes off my husband as being the enemy and really got to zero in on who the real enemy was, I could really pray with the knowledge of what I'm praying against. I'm not praying against my husband. My job is to pray for my husband's salvation, you know, to pray that he be saved, that the Lord, because he has the ability to change the heart. As he's beginning to show me every scripture that he has, the king's heart is in his hands, and he can turn it whichever way he chooses. As I begin to really rest in those scriptures that I begin to find and really believe them for myself, because, you know, sometimes we read the Bible, but we don't really believe that the scriptures are for us. But every single promise in the Bible is for us. And as I begin to really receive and pray into those things and really adding my husband in those scriptures and really believe it, my heart towards my husband changed, where I felt like I was really upset. I really, whatever was in there, I was extremely upset. I was mad. I felt hurt. My children were hurt. We have two children that are off in college. Well, we both had children before we met. But both of our son and daughter was going off to school, and we have a little one. Everyone was devastated by what was going on between him and I. And so I was mad at first. But as I began to really pray and really hold on to the promises of God, he began to show me not only who the real enemy was, but the Lord began to show me myself. And I began to see issues that in our marriage that, you know, there's things that I slipped on. There's things that I messed up on. I didn't do everything perfect. And I didn't, you know, do everything right. And the Lord began to show me, he said, when my husband began to do something else and do other things, he said, if you would have just, sometimes we can look at it in a worldly point of view and say, well, if somebody is not treating me right, then I'm just going to, you know, not treat them right too. But that's not how God operates. God said, if you hold on to my standards and if you still do it the way that I've asked you to, you still treat people with kindness, you still treat your husband, you still treat your spouse the way that I've commanded you to do, then I'll take care of the situation. I didn't do that. And so when I was married, I added on to the frustration. My husband didn't do something, or he was upset about something, or something didn't work out, and I began to withdraw. I began to pull back. I began to just not do the things as a wife that I should have been doing. So the Lord began to show me myself. He began to show Tiana, this is where you missed the mark. This is what you did not do. And it really shifted my mind on, hey, this is not just my husband, but the Lord is trying to do something in me. This is something that, like, I wasn't perfect. He's trying to do something, a work in me too. And as I begin to pray fervently every single day, as it would just come to my mind, I would pray for my husband. I would pray for my family. And I would still operate in the prayer ministry, still praying for other people, because at first I was like, well, why should I go still be praying and ministering to other people? You know, I have my own problems going on. And the Lord just reminded me, you know, that he's the chief intercessor. And as we go about, you know, praying for other people and ministering to other people, that he doesn't forget our needs. He doesn't forget, you know, our issues at hand, that he will answer. And so as I begin to receive that, you know, my heart towards my husband changed. But the crazy part about it, my husband was still mad. You know, when we would get on the phone, he would be short-tempered, even though I'm like, you're gone. I'm here with the kids, and you're gone off somewhere with another woman. I'm thinking, why could you possibly be mad? He would still be mad. He would be upset. And at first I would engage it, but like I said, as I begin to pray, the Lord began to change my heart, and I will respond differently. I begin to pray to the Lord, how do I respond to my husband? How do I communicate with him? What do you want me to say? You know, tell me when I should just not say anything, or tell me when to say something or what to say, because I didn't even know anymore. And as I begin to do that, what my husband began to tell me, he's like, you sound different. Our conversation changed. He started to call more. He was still, you know, I guess once he realized he was on the phone quite a bit, he was like still at, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and get off the phone. So, you know, and so, but he began to, you know, respond different to me. And he just told me one day, I remember the week before we actually reconciled, we had the worst argument ever. And I just didn't understand it, because I was still being nice. I was still being loving. I was still being kind. But he was just upset and just so aggravated by everything. And we had the worst argument. I just knew at that point, I'm like, I really got to the end of myself. I said, Lord, you know what? I do love my husband, but if this is your will, whatever your will is, I'm okay with it. I know for sure that I want you. I know for sure that I want to put you first. And that day changed the rest of my life, because it wasn't just me saying it. I cried that day. Like, I cried because it was, I came really to the end of myself. I'm like, this is not in my hands. I'm not in control of it. And I believe the Lord saw my heart posture was that I wanted him more than anything, even more than I wanted my marriage to work. I wanted God more. And I believe he saw my heart posture. I cried and cried because, of course, I love my husband, but my heart really began to change. That same week, my husband began to call more, and we would have these long conversations. It's like something just switched. He started to talk different. He sounded different. Then he said, you know, we were both set to speak at an event, you know, at an event the same weekend. It was pre-planned before we had ever separated. And my husband said, you know, he was adamant the month or so leading up to. He's like, well, I'm not going. Tell them I'm counseling. And I'm thinking, how can I just tell these people you're counseling? We can't just counsel at the last minute. I know I couldn't counsel, and I can't show up and say, well, and they go, where's your husband at? And I go, like, I don't know where he's at. Something changed in his heart, and he decided at the last minute, a week before we were to speak at this event, he decided, okay, so I'm going to come. The next day he said, well, do you mind if I come by, you know, the house afterwards? You know, if you can get the kids together, I want to talk with them, you know, because, you know, I kind of left abruptly and it left them in a bad place. You know, I want to talk with them and, you know, come by the house. Before, if I hadn't really had an encounter with God, before my flesh would have said no. And everything according to what the people that I knew that were spiritual leaders were saying, they were like, no, do not let him come to your house. Don't let him do this. Don't do that. Don't. And I'm thinking, that's not the grace of God. But God kept showing me the story of the prodigal son. And the most interesting point about that story is that the father didn't beg and plead for him to stay. He trusted. Something about him was settled that he trusted that God would bring his son back. He didn't fight. He didn't argue. When he came back, he showed him the grace of God. He didn't say, why did you leave? I told you so. And so that story just kept resonating with me. And I said, sure, of course, you can come by, no problem. You know, I get the kids together after the event, and then you can come by and you can speak to them. And the day before the event, my husband called saying, he was like, I want to come home. It was out of the blue. Like, it was just that random. It was out of the blue. He said, I want to ask you something. I said, sure, what's going on? He said, I want to know if I could come home. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. You know, he said, I miss you guys. I miss my family. You know, I love you. I want to make it work. I couldn't believe it. And he said, I want to come home. Now, I said, well, you want to come home when? Are you saying Saturday when you come to the event you want to come home? He's like, no, I want to come home today. I want to come back home today. And that's exactly what he did. The funny part about the story is that every prayer I prayed, as I began to talk to my husband when he came back, as we have begun to talk throughout this time, every prayer that I prayed, my husband felt them. He knew them. He felt them. He said that, see, sometimes we can think when a prodigal is gone that they don't care, they're living their life, that they don't call. My husband said he cried every single night. He knew. He said the day he left, he knew that he had made a mistake, but he thought he could never come back. And if I would have acted differently or would have took the information and advice from other people saying, don't stand for your marriage, no, just divorce him, I would not be on this phone call with you today. I would not be here. The amazing part about the story is the day my husband left, when I walked in the house and saw all his things were gone, I heard the Holy Spirit say, your husband's going to come back home. And when he comes back home, I want you to prophesy and speak into this other woman's life. And I thought at the time, yeah, I'm going to speak into her life, all right. I got a few choice words. But I didn't believe God. I mean, I just didn't believe it. I'm like, that was day one when his stuff was first gone. But throughout this process, I did not believe it I didn't believe it at first that he would come home. The amazing part about the story is my husband came home. He came home that, I think, Friday. We had the event on Saturday. On Sunday, the young woman reached out, just like I said. She reached out. And instead of me responding in anger, she reached out because she wanted my husband back. She's like, I love you. I want you back, and I'll wait for you and all these things. And I could have responded another way. You know, my husband came home, and he was like, here's my email. Here's my passcode to my phone, like everything. Like, I don't want any secrets. You know, there's nothing. And so I saw she sent him an email, and we both read the email. He said, well, you know, I already told her that it was over. I said, you know, let me speak to her. And I would have responded differently. if I had not had an encounter with God. But I began to, you know, the first thing I said to her was that, first of all, I forgive you. I hold, there's no grudges. I don't have any ill will towards you. And the Lord really began to show me things about her childhood and about what he wanted to do in her. And I told her, I said, you know, there's some things that happened in your childhood. And I'm just kind of paraphrasing because it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit. So there's some things that happened in your childhood that the Lord wants to heal. And that's why you even got into this relationship, that the Lord thinks more for you than to give you somebody else's husband. And then the Lord even began to show me, but there's a husband that he has for her. There's somebody that he has for you, but he wants to have a personal encounter with you, that this is a time to draw into his presence because he's near to the brokenhearted. Think about it. I'm saying this to somebody who literally was involved with my own husband. And when I got off that email, and she emailed me back, and I said, I'm praying for you. You know, I pray that all works well, and I forgive you. She sent me an email back. She said, thank you so much, and I'm so sorry. And the Lord just showed me that's what grace is. Then when you sign up for ministry, it's not based on what you think and what you're offended by, but it's to do the will of the Father. And something in my husband really changed throughout that time, because I used to think, you know, as we were going through our rough times, you know, as we became distant from each other, we used to always say, you know, he's like, I want that woman back I married. And I used to be like, I want that man back that I married. But my husband is not even that same man. He is a different person. You know, he recommitted himself back to God, recommitted himself back to the vision that God gave him. And he is not the same person. That is not the man that I married. He is different in every single way. Our relationship is so much better than it has ever been. Our friendship is so much better than it's ever been. He's not the same person. I'm not the same person. You know, we're able to communicate, and things that were an issue before, they're just not an issue now. And not because they didn't exist, but when my husband came back home, you know, I showed him the love of Christ. When he came back home and he repented to the Father, whatever sins that happened, they were threw into the sea of forgiveness. I don't go back and rehash them up. We don't go back and re-talk about them over and over. It's done. Like, it's finished. Like, there's nothing else to say about it. That's a chapter that is closed. And our friendship has grew. Our marriage has grew in such this short time. My husband has been home. He came home at the beginning of August, so he's barely been home maybe, what, a month and a half? But he is not the same man. That's not the same man that I married. That's a different person. And only God can do that. And like I said, I also want to encourage you guys, because I'm telling you, my husband is so, he's a man of, like, when he makes up his mind about stuff, he makes up his mind. He's very sure. Only God could do what happened in my marriage. And my husband, just to hear him say, when I thought about, you know, I shouldn't pray for him anymore. Like, who cares? He doesn't care if I'm praying for him. You know, at one point he was like, you don't have to pray for me. And at one point while he was gone, you don't pray for me anymore. Just stop praying. You know, I guess, you know, the prayers are really bothering him. Don't pray for me anymore. But then for him to come home and say, thank you for praying for me. You know, I felt those prayers. I heard God. I kept hearing the Holy Spirit say, no, go back home. I kept hearing him say these things, like, so your prayers are working. I had to really relinquish my own time frame in it, because you can think to yourself, like, well, God, I want you to do it in this way. I want you to do it this fast. You got to relinquish all control and let God do his work. Sometimes you can want something to happen. I wanted my husband to come back day one, but the Lord told me, he said, he's not ready to come back day one. If he comes back day one, you're going to get the same situation. There's something I need to do in him and in you. You know, so sometimes we can want them to come back so fast without God really doing the work in our hearts and in their hearts. So then when you come back, that your relationship can be stronger. And so, like I said, as my husband came back, he is not the same man. I am not the same woman. I'm not the same. I have the grace of God, really the grace of God. God showed me grace. I showed my husband grace. I showed the other woman grace. And we're just in a different place. I was so elated to come on and share this this testimony, because, like I said, you can think as you begin to look around, you know, it seems like divorce is rampant, even in the church and the Christian community, you know, and everything says just go about your business and go find somebody else. But really, truly, the issues that you're having, some of them are personal issues, some issues from your own childhood, some issues from being hurt. You're going to have to deal with them at some point. Another person is not going to fix the issues. Sometimes it's a soul issue. Sometimes it's an issue that you need to get right with Christ, that it's not about finding somebody else that's going to treat you this way and that way. You know, marriage is a journey. You know, and as you grow with somebody and you're with someone for the rest of your life, you're going to go through everything, death, job loss, all kinds of things. You're going to go through life with that person. And so it's not always going to be a bed of roses, but you have to make the choice to love. You have to make the choice to fight for your marriage. You have to make the choice to forgive. You have to make the choice to be joyful. You have to make the choice to pray. And then there's things that you can't do in your own natural strength. Pray to God. I have seen God change my husband's heart. I've seen him change everything, my children. I've seen God do some miraculous things through the power of prayer. Listen, what is impossible with man is possible with God. That is, I mean, that's the truth, not because I said it. It's because the word of God is true. And so whatever your situation is, no matter how impossible you say, well, my husband is just this, and my wife is just this, and it just won't work, and we've been through too much, and this person is involved, and they've been gone this long, and they said they were sure they wanted a divorce, and we can't communicate. Nothing and nobody, nothing is impossible with God. And as you begin to really hold on to the word and to what God really says about you, because it's not just for me, it's not just for Charlene, it's not just for this person and that person. The word of God, the promises of God are for you and your marriage. God is not looking saying, well, this for this circumstance, this can't work out. Well, for this circumstance, I just can't do it. He can do anything. Like, he can do anything. And he desires to restore your marriage. So for even those that even say, well, I don't know if this is God's will. No, God's will is that my marriage is be restored. God does not, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You know, God hates divorce. You know, there's allowances that he gives us to divorce, but he hates divorce. He's for restoring of your marriage, but will you fight for your marriage? Will you stand for your marriage? Will you let God do the work in you? Will you not just look at your husband or your wife and just look at yourself and really, really draw into God and work on your relationship with God and really begin to, even during that time, I started, you know, I was praying and doing all those things, but I began to really get my joy back for life, too. I started back working out, and I started back remembering the things I love to do. I love to write and things that you love to do. Get up and live. Get up. Don't just sit there and wait and just stand still. No, you stand, and you still move, and you still build, and you still do all the things that God is telling you to do, and you still be happy, and you still laugh, and you still find time for friends, and you still stand and pray for your husband. But don't get in a place where you're just standing, and you're just standing still, you know, in a place that, okay, I'm just waiting for my husband to come or my wife to come back home, and then you're just standing there, and you're not, you know, we're supposed to seize every single day. Every day is a gift. You know, still do the things that you need to do every day and live life. It's because that shows God that we have faith. There's no fear in faith. We have faith. We're going to not just believe what God is saying. We're going to act on it. Our actions are going to show, you know, hey, I'm getting up. I'm moving about. I'm believing what God said. I'm believing that God is going to restore me. Every time I would hear the enemy say, I'm telling you because he riddled your mind with this. He's not going to restore your marriage. He's not going to do this. Every time I would say, no, thank you, God, for restoring my marriage. Thank you, God, for bringing my husband home. I would say these things, even if it was under my breath, and because the enemy will put these ideas in your head all day long. Well, he's with this person, and he's doing that. Thank you, God, for restoring my marriage. Thank you, God, for bringing my husband home. And eventually God did it in his own timing. And so I wanted to encourage you guys to trust in God and really believe God is for your marriage, and that to trust in his timing and to draw into God and to draw into the presence of God and begin to put your own things in order, then to begin to put God first, then your spouse, and then your children. God first. God first. He doesn't want any of us to have our spouses as an idol. He doesn't want us to lose our relationship with him to maintain a relationship with our spouse. You know, that will never work that way. You know, but if we maintain our relationship with God, then God will handle the rest. You know, so thank you for letting me come on and share. And like you said, if you have any questions, I'm open to answering anything you guys want to ask me.
Thank you, Tiana. What a great, great testimonial. Okay, so we're going to open up for Q&A. Who wants to ask, fire the first question? Open mic.
I just want to know, in regards to, like, people at the church telling you to leave your husband, because I went through this a couple days ago, actually, where they, you know, they've gone through a divorce themselves because they experienced adultery, and they're persistent on you letting your spouse go and telling you, like, their actions are showing you that they don't love you. On my situation, my husband's in home prodigal. He still communicates with the other woman and things and all that stuff. And everybody from church that knows the situation, you know, my husband has told me, has said, oh, I care for you more than I love you, but never has said, I don't love you. In that situation, everybody else says his actions show you enough that he doesn't love you. How do you respond to that? Or how did you respond when people from, you know, such godly realms, seems like, you know, that they're so close to God, have gone through the same experience but have decided to divorce and get remarried because they believe that God has something better for me?
Right. I totally understand your question. And I think that people really respond that way out of, you know, I really believe, even in my case, I think it's out of sympathy. They want to see us out of that pain. They're thinking, well, they're really doing you wrong. I want to see you out of the pain. The interesting part about me as well, the two leaders that I spoke about, one is divorced, and the other one is their marriage is on the rocks, and they're close to divorce. And so not that you can't use those as sources, you know, to, you know, you can't ask them questions, but I really begin to think, okay, so if they have the tools to, they didn't have the tools to fix their own marriage, maybe this is something that God wants to do with me. Sometimes we can idolize leaders, like you said, spiritual leaders in the church, and we go, well, they should know, they should surely know. But God speaks to us just like he speaks to them. You know, I'm in ministry. You know, God is no respecter of person. And I had to get to God and ask him about my own situation. And I knew what they were saying, and I don't think they meant evil. I knew they meant well, but that's just not what God told me. And so when they begin to respond like that, at first I was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. I should. He is doing me bad. Yeah, I was like, okay, you're right, especially the one that was the pastor that was my husband's friend. Like, I'm thinking, well, if he says it and he was his friend, surely, I mean, surely he's right. But that's not what God was saying. And even to this day, I'll be honest with you, they still don't understand it. I'm not saying they agree with it, but God didn't ask them for agreement. This is not their life. At the end of the day, we all have our own lives to live. I have to stand before God, and I have to know, did I obey the voice of God when he told me to stand for my marriage? He didn't tell me to, you know, obey somebody else and not listen to him. Not that you can't get wise counsel from somebody, but always ask God, and if God is leading you to stand for your marriage, then you always obey God. And then, like I said, even now, they may feel different about it. I can tell my husband friends feels kind of odd, you know, feels kind of awkward about it. But that's really their problem to deal with. Me and my husband are happy. My children are happy. We're doing great. And we have our own lives. So like I said, both of them, one is divorced and one is their marriage is, they're pretty close to divorce. But I really believe it's a testament for them as well. I pray that my story is a testament for them to say, hey, if she prayed it through, if she just stuck with God, if she just really stood on the promises of God for her marriage, that he really turned the heart of her spouse, then wait a minute, he could do it for me, or I should reconsider. You know, like, maybe he can, like, so this is a testimony of God's grace and his goodness. And so maybe your testimony as well will be a story for them that, you know, sometimes people, we read the Bible, but do we really believe in the miraculous works of God? You know, he can do anything. And he's not limited by our own beliefs and what we think with our carnal mind. So I say, I say continue to stand for your spouse. As I begin to see the difference in what God was saying and what they were saying, I just started, you know, not sharing as much, you know, because it was distracting for me to hear you know, well, I think you should leave, or I think you should, he's a horrible person. It became a distraction to me, and I began to, you know, waver sometimes. So I began to share less about, you know, what I was feeling, even though I still felt it. I was still internally, even though I was praying, I was still bothered that my husband, he's talking to another woman. He's actually in a house with another woman. I was bothered by it, and they made it, you know, exasperate the situation. So I stopped sharing those details with them. I would share less and less because I wanted to stay focused on what God was saying. So I hope that answered your question.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions?
I just wanted to make a comment. My name is Tracy Artis. I found out the hard way, and my journey started 2 years ago with my relationship with God, and that was due to a painful divorce situation. But what I found is discretion with the people that I talk to, and I really found out, I actually have boiled it down to two friends that I can really talk to about the situation. But what I've really learned to do is I go to God first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ultimately where the answer, that's the answer, is through God. And I heard this, I don't remember where, read it or heard somewhere anyway, but it's like, go to the throne before the phone. And I was, I didn't do that before. I was calling everybody in the world because I was just looking for somebody to say something to make me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know where I get that from, and that comes from God and the word, His word.
Yeah, no, that's so true. I was, my story is the same as yours. I had those two, you know, leaders that I would share with. I didn't share this with a friend. I didn't share this with my sisters. I didn't share this with anybody. I shared it with those two people. This was difficult. Like, I was trying to really, it was a difficult situation. I'm like, should I cover my husband? You know, I don't want him to be out here looking crazy, you know, but should I not care? So I didn't know what to do, but when I felt like I could confide in them, and it does feel good. Like, you're like, oh, it feels good to get that out. You're kind of holding me. It's like, oh, my God, it feels good to just get it out and say it, you know. But like you said, that was the biggest lesson that I learned, is to, when I have an issue, is to go to God. If I have an issue with my husband, to go to God first. And like I said, sometimes people mean well, but that may not be what God is saying about your situation. So.
I have a question.
Other questions?
I have a question. Hi. Kiana, thank you for sharing. I really appreciate it, first of all. But I'm curious to know, other family members, like you said, you had sisters and stuff. Like, in my personal situation, I'm having a hard time with my family. It's almost like they're mad at me because I'm standing for my husband. So I'm just wondering if you've had any success with your family members accepting him back.
I'll say this. Like I said, I didn't share with them any details. My sisters are extremely opinionated. You know, like I said, we lost my mom a couple years ago, so my sisters, I'm the baby sister, so they're extremely opinionated, and they have a lot to say about everything. And so I would say this. I would say that they're not as – they definitely – I'm the type of person, they don't tell me. They wouldn't tell me if they had a problem. They act like everything is okay, but amongst themselves, they may say anything. But I've really learned to, I really have to live my life for myself and for God. And so as long as God is pleased with what I'm doing, and that goes for family, even if that means that, you know, if you're going to be an issue, if you're going to be an opponent to my marriage, not that I'm going to disown you, but, you know, I'm going to protect my marriage. And so not that I'm disowning you, but, I mean, this, you know, I'm cleaving to my family, to my husband, to my children, and to God. And so if you don't understand my decision, I'm not trying to get them to understand it, you know that, like I said, they haven't said anything to me out of the way. They may, I'm sure they say things to each other. You know, my sisters are pretty opinionated, but they won't say anything to me at all. And I'm okay with that. You know, they may feel some type of way, but I'm okay. Like, I am okay with what God has done. I'm perfectly fine with it. You know, and I hope they accept it. You know, we hadn't been in the same room in since that time, you know, at the same, you know, but as far as I know, they act like everything is okay. But so, but either way, I'm okay either way. So if it becomes an issue, at the end of the day, I'm going to always choose my family. So,
right. and yeah. whatever God is telling you. And that's have brothers, and my brothers are very protective of me. And I find that I try not to talk about it with anyone other than God. And I have a Christian counselor. And I'm okay with keeping it to myself, but I'm just thinking ahead because I know God's going to bring my husband home. I know he is, and I'm just thinking ahead to when he does. How is my family? Because I've been with him, my husband, for 23 years, and I'm worried about how my family's going to accept him back. But I guess I need to just trust that God will change their hearts too.
Absolutely. That's just the same thing goes for your family as well, your siblings, your whoever's involved as well. Pray for them as well that when your husband comes back home that, you know, that their hearts will turn. And like you said, most of the time, our siblings, our family, they, you know, they just want somebody to stop hurting their family member. You know, that's all they know. But you have to get advice in those situations. So they're going to be biased, too. I've learned that, too. My siblings and my family are going to be biased towards me. And so you have to really pray and get, like you said, seek counsel and share those intimate details and that type of stuff like that. I would not share that with, you know, my family members. I know they're going to be biased. Share that with somebody who you know, won't, you know, be biased about the situation or won't, you know, can give you sound advice without, you know, you know, as a family, we just want to protect our family member, you know, at all costs. So, yeah.
Yes, thank you.
One thing to add to that, you know, the thing that came to mind as you guys were talking about that, it was just the example of Doubting Thomas in the Bible, you know, where he wouldn't believe that Jesus was alive until he put his fingers in the holes and put his hand in his side. And I think that's sometimes true with family members, you know, and I can speak from a place of understanding because, you know, my brothers are not supportive at all of what I'm going through. But, you know, what's cool, I think we have an opportunity to become just to become vessels of God's glory because, you know, when God restores marriage through us, we have all these eyes that are on us. You know, what they say with their mouths is one thing. What they get to see through us is completely different. And I promise you, here's the cool thing. If no matter what they say with their mouths, no matter how sarcastic they are, even if they, like, cut contact, I've had all those responses. Even if that's all true, if that person, if your brother or sister starts going through their own marriage problems, which, you know, we know there's a good chance they will, who are they going to go to at that point? You know, are they going to go to the person who lost it all and gave up? Or are they going to go to you who stood and now is in a renewed marriage and is living this renewed, abundant life, right? You know, if you live an abundant life, you know, that it's like a star in the sky. You know, we attract other people to us. It's an attractive thing to be renewed, and it's an attractive thing to be abundant. And so, you know, no matter how stubborn those family members are, when it comes right down to it, they will see. And they may never say it, but they watch and they're seeing, and you know, we're a light in the darkness.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And just to piggyback on what he was saying, that is so true because just like the pastor, my husband's friend, who's the pastor who was telling me to leave, you know, you should leave him. Yeah, absolutely leave him. He's going through problems in his own marriage. And as the situation began to turn with me and my husband, you know, as we would see some light, you know, he began to say, you know, hey, can you pray for me and my wife? Can you pray for my wife? You know, can you keep us in your prayer? Now, he didn't, you know, he would say that, but then at the same point, he would be like, you know, you should divorce your husband. And you see how conflicting that is. And so I know that, you know, even though he didn't understand the situation of why I took my husband back or what, I wasn't really trying to explain to him why, but, you know, I know he didn't, you know, approve of it at, you know, when he was saying divorce him, do all these things. But I know for sure that he sees the testimony. He can say that, hey, they were here in this place and they got here and I'm having these problems. So maybe I should try this. So he hasn't said that to me, but he definitely asked me, could I pray for him and his wife? And I'm thinking, sure, I can pray for you and your wife. Absolutely.
That's great.
More questions?
Hi, yeah, I just actually got here about 9. Can you kind of recap? Was your husband really kind of what happened?
Sure, if I could recap really quickly. Okay, me and my husband have been married 7 years in November. I found out in February of this year that we were in the middle of planning a church. We both in ministry. Found out in the middle of all this that he had been seeing another woman. He claimed this woman was a friend. It sounded awkward to me. I've been knowing him for quite some time, and I've never met this friend. Of course, I found out this was somebody that he was dating. He came to his senses. I started praying, came to his senses, and said no, he wanted to work on the marriage. Then months later, I thought we were doing okay. And then I came home, you know, he started seeing the woman again, and I came home one day, and all his stuff was gone. He had left. He told me he was going to a hotel to stay, and, you know, we were getting divorced and that he wanted to leave. But I knew immediately that he was going to be with this other woman, that he was going to go to their house. I already knew that. And I shared with them on the line is that the Lord told me the first day that my husband left, he shared with me, as soon as I walked in the house and saw his stuff gone, he said that your husband's going to come home, and when he comes home, you're going to prophesy into this other woman's life. And I was really like, I really have a few choice words for her, so I absolutely can tell her something. But I did not believe God. I mean, I didn't believe it. I'm like, that's not going to happen. So I just kind of threw that to the side. Long story short, me and my husband were at odds. We could not communicate. We barely talked. He would call every now and again, speak with the kids. But him and I couldn't even have a conversation. I was so upset. You know, I confided in two leaders, like I told them, two ministry leaders. One was a good friend of my husband's, a pastor. He told me to leave my husband. Another one was a good friend of my mother's who had passed away, and she was saying the same thing. She was divorced. She said, no, leave your husband. No. And these are people that are in ministry, the ministry leaders. No, leave your husband. Divorce him. Go on about your life. Continue in the ministry. Just forget about him. He's a lost cause. But as I began to pray about it, the Lord didn't say that. He told me to stand, you know, to pray for my husband's salvation. And I was upset. I'm like, I don't want to pray. I really didn't want to. I'm like, I don't want to pray for him. Hey, whatever you do, God, just, you know, maybe he needs to go bump his head, but that's not what God told me to do. And so as I began to pray for my husband, he really began to not only change my husband, but he changed my heart. Now, I didn't see a physical change in my husband because he wasn't at home. He had left. And every time we would talk, he was so angry. Like, he was upset. Like, I'm like, why are you upset? You're gone. I'm here with the kids. I'm like, you're good. But when at some point, you know, the Lord really began to show me that I needed to surrender my marriage to him, and that I came to the end of myself one day, and I believe it was just something. I just came to the end of myself and really realized that I had put my relationship with my husband over the years. I had put that before my relationship with God. Even in ministry, I put that before my relationship with my husband, before God, and before my relationship with him. And I got to the point one day, you know, after one of me and my husband's arguments is that, you know what, God, no matter if you bring my husband home or not, I'm okay with just you. You know, I'm okay with, you know, whatever you choose to do, whatever your will be done. If you say he's coming home, okay, it's in your plans. If you say, I can't worry about what day, I can't worry about when and how you're going to do it, I relinquished all control, trying to figure it out and control it myself. And that day, that same week, now we couldn't even have a conversation. My husband was positive that he wanted a divorce. Like, it was pretty adamant that he was with this other woman. That same week, you know, like I told him, me and my husband had a ministry engagement that was planned way before we had separated. He said he wasn't coming. That week before, something miraculous happened, and he said that he was going to come, but he wanted to come to our house afterwards and speak with our kids. Crazy enough, the day before the event, he called and said he wanted to come home, that he was done. You know, he'd ended the relationship with the other woman. He wanted to come home. He wanted the marriage. And he ended the relationship with the other woman. He came home. And I hope I didn't miss anything. So that's pretty much the gist of it for you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have one more question.
Any other?
In regards,
yeah, go ahead.
I have one more question. In regards to the other woman, how do you know that she's completely out of the picture? Are you, you know, like, does she still try to communicate, or, you know, she's gone?
Right. Yeah, she's definitely gone. The day my husband came home, he said, hey, here's my phone. You know, before it was all, see, everything he's doing was all secretive. I didn't know what was going on. Here's my phone. She has access to my emails. And now that I'm going around looking for things, he's like, I'm an open book. So I said I'm done. I told her I'm done. You know, I want to be here, you know, so this is what we're going to do. And so my life is an open book, and that's the only way I got to see the email. My husband didn't even see it because he wasn't checking it. That's the only way I got to see the email that the young woman sent, because he blocked her on the phone, like she couldn't call, and so she hadn't called when he left. But she emailed that, like, a couple of days after, you know, he had left, and that's how I saw the email and was able to respond to her. And at that point, I responded to her. She responded back to me. And, you know, I, like I said, I told her I forgave her and all those things. And she said, you know, thank you, and I'm sorry. And since that time, she emailed back. So she said that day, and then I think the next day, she sent another email and said something about the same. You know, I forgot what she said in the email. I'm just sending, whatever she said in the email, I was like, at that point, my husband was like, well, we're just going to block the emails from coming through at this point. And so he just said, hey, I'm just going to, you know, from this point on, you know, because there was nothing else to say. I responded. She responded respectfully to me. And, you know, there was nothing to, but I could see she was probably wrestling with that. And so he just blocked her email. So, no, she's gone.
Okay.
Can you tell us if your husband told you at any point, what was the turning point for him? Because as you were praying, he said he was feeling the prayers.
Yeah.
And he was feeling the Holy Spirit, you know, drawing him. At which point did he finally give in and say, that's it, I'm done, I'm going to go home? What was the turning point?
Right. What's funny is that he said the day that he left, he knew that he had made a mistake and that he should have been home. Like, he knew he was supposed to be home. But he said he thought he could never come back. Like, he just didn't think I would ever. He's like, I knew you would probably never let me back here, so I didn't even think about it. But like you said, I could not tell then because he was still acting, you know, still upset and still gone with the other woman. But, you know, he said every night, you know, at first, I guess the first couple, you know, I don't know, maybe the first month or so, you know, for months, he was okay, I guess. But he said at some point, I didn't get the exact point, but he was like, no, every single night I cried. And I'm thinking, how are you crying? But every time I got on the phone with you, you didn't act like you had been crying the night before. You acted like you were sure in your decision. He was like, no. So while he was acting like he was sure, oh, I'm sure I want to divorce, I'm sure of this, he wasn't as sure as he was saying. He was just saying it. And so he was like, no, I wasn't sure. You know, I was crying every night. I wanted to come home. I missed you guys. You know, I knew you were praying for me. Like I said, at some point he was like, stop praying for me. He knew I was praying. He was like, no, stop. No, just stop praying. Don't worry about it. But no, I didn't stop. I said, no, listen, as long as I have breath in my body, I'm going to be praying for you. You know, I'm going to pray for your salvation. That was my main thing, was to pray for his salvation, that the Lord would save his soul. And he felt those prayers. And so do not believe what they say. Do not. Then I know it may look like they're having an amazing life and all these things. My husband was so relieved when he came home. He was like, I am so glad I came home. Like, I felt out of place. I felt like, you know, I was, you know, it's not as glamorous as it looks. Like, they've just moved on with their lives, and they don't think about their families. They don't think about their husbands or wives. You know, he felt those prayers. And so we have to continue to pray. And I always think back, I'm like, what if I would have stopped? And so it wasn't because the power of Tiana in praying. It was the power of God to really believe and to hold on to God's word until I seen it manifest. Like, to hold on. I could have gave up. And, you know, sometimes, like you said, in Daniel, you know, sometimes you have to war for the promise. Sometimes you have to war for the promise of God. Sometimes you have to stay there and really hold on to it to see the answer to the prayer. But if we give up too early, you know, like you said, we can really miss out on seeing the answer. And so I just held on to God. That's the only thing I could think of, was just to keep praying and to keep believing until it happened. And then eventually it did.
So I have a question for you.
What's the angry? Oh,
say that again.
I was just asking him quick if he was angry whenever, like, till the end. Like, was he really angry until the day he asked you or to come home?
No, he wasn't. I would say up until a week before, like a week before he came home, he was still acting very odd, but I wasn't engaging in the arguments anymore. Before listening to everybody else, you know, I was engaging in the arguments, like, hey, don't call me, don't do this, leave me alone. Like, but before, like, I was engaging the arguments and exasperating the situation myself, because I kept looking at me, well, look at me, well, he's hurting me. And God's like, give it to me. You still treat him like he's still your husband. Still treat him right and watch me. Watch me. When you treat people right, even though they're treating you wrong, watch God really turn the situation around where people can see themselves. My husband could not understand why I was being nice and kind. I wasn't pretending to be nice and kind, and it was work at first. I'm like, I don't want to be nice and kind to somebody who's mistreating me. But isn't that what God called us to do? How can we have grace for every single person besides when it comes to us and our own feelings, our own situations? And so I just showed him that same grace, but it was only by the grace of God. God helped me to not be, you know, angry with my husband, to not engage him with these conversations. So he was upset up until the week before. I wouldn't have guessed that he came home on a Friday. That Friday before, there is no way. If somebody would ask me, is my husband coming home? Or I would have been like, there is no way that I would have even thought that Friday before. Oh, he'll be home next week. I had no idea. He started saying to me, well, what about one day? You know, maybe one day we can date, and maybe one day this. And I was like, okay, like, you know, maybe one day this, and, you know, one day, you know, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know. But no, he was angry up until, like I said, that week. And then his conversation began to change. And he even told me, he's like, you sound, I said, what, you know, we've had these conversations, he said, you sounded different. You didn't sound like the same person. You know, I felt bad, you know, You know, you didn't sound like the same person. You didn't sound like the same Tiana. You sounded different. And he said that's when he began to go, like, hold on, this is a different person. This is not the same person, you know, that, you know, we had all these arguments. This is a different person. Now, he began to really hear that on the phone, that, no, this is not the same person. And so that's when the tides began to turn. And even the day that I cried out to God and where I really surrendered my husband to God on that Saturday before he came home, my husband said the same day, this is how miraculous God, the same day my husband said he just cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. You didn't know why he was crying. He just cried and just, you know, wanted to come home so bad. And he missed my family. He missed me. Like, I didn't even, the same day, like, I don't know. I can't even orchestrate that. That was something that God did. And something pricked his heart that day, and he was not the same. And like I said, he is not the same person. He is just not the same individual. He is a different person. I would have never been able to trust that other individual. I would have never been able to have a conversation with him the way he had, you know, we just were at such a bad spot, you know, communication-wise. He is a completely different person. Like, only God could do that. He's completely different.
Hey, I have a question. Is there still time for another one?
Sure, go ahead. We have time.
Okay. My name's Susan, and my husband, similar patterns. I guess we all have the same similar patterns with our prodigal spouses. But my husband actually married the other woman. And in the beginning, you know, they acted like everything was wonderful. He ended up moving to her home state and has not spoke to our children since probably November of last year. Our kids are teenagers. But recently, I'd say the last few months, the Lord has been getting me, preparing things for my husband to come home. I don't know if that means he's coming home soon. I'm not really sure. I'm just obeying what the Lord said. But he's been having me prepare things, make space in the closet. I bought his shampoo. He had me take the kids to therapy to get them prepared, just stuff like that, a bunch of different things. He told me I needed to prepare financially, because I'm going to have to take care of everybody, because it sounds like, well, my husband's sick. Basically what's happening with him is, even though at first he made it sound like everything's wonderful, I know from his family that he's very sick. He has ulcerative colitis. They're arguing all the time. He has no money. He left a wonderful job here that he made a good, healthy six-figure income, and he went to her home state and didn't even work for 3 months, couldn't even find a job. Anyways, my question is, in getting prepared for him to come home, the one thing that seems to stick in my mind is, and I hope this isn't just too private, but I just don't know how would I be able to be intimate with him again, just knowing that he was intimate with someone else. That I just kind of got me stuck. Did you have a problem with that, or did God just take that away?
Right. No, that's true. When I learned that he was even talking to this other woman before he had even left, like, I don't know, the 6-month span was the time I found out from the time he left. When I even found out, like, I was just like, there is no way that I can sleep with him again. And, you know,
yeah,
when
that's
he finally,
what I was thinking.
Yeah. And when, but when he finally left, when he was, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that's exactly what I've been saying to the Lord. How could I ever sleep with him again? I mean, honestly, if I, in the beginning, when I would think about it, it would make me want to throw up thinking of him sleeping with someone else. It was so, you know, just awful to me. So anyways,
right.
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt you. So go ahead.
No, the fact that you're even thinking about that now, it just means that you need to pray about it. And that's what I began to do. Before my husband came home, I began to pray about it. You know, as those thoughts began to come up, and I would even have those flashes of him with this other woman and being intimate, as I began to pray about it, not praying about whatever he was doing, but I began to pray about our own intimacy. Lord, you know, restore our intimacy. You know, all these things before he was gone off somewhere doing what God knows what, I began to start praying about those things. And I'm telling you, as I began to pray about those things, before my husband even came home, I began to have those feelings again, like I wanted to be intimate with him, which was totally, I mean, obviously I didn't even see him. While he was gone, we did not see each other at all. Like, I didn't see him. But, you know, I began to have those feelings again that I didn't think I would have again as I began to pray about those things. So by the time he came home, like you said, the same things was happening. The Lord told me to clear out my husband's drawer. To, you know, I had put stuff on his side of the closet to clean, you know, to move my things out of his side of the closet. I started to do those things. So as you said those things, those are the exact things that I began to do. I wasn't like, and the thing about, when we think about, you know, for God knows the plans that he has for us, plans to give us a hope and a future. When we think about hope in the worldly term, we think it may happen, it may not happen, it's a maybe thing. But God, hope is expectation. We should be living in expectation that any moment now, I'm telling you, any moment now, your spouse can come home. And will you be prepared for him to come home? So, yeah, any moment, any day, like God can turn it around tomorrow and they could call and say, can I come home today? You know, so
yeah,
that's exactly
what the Lord. That's exactly what the Lord has been saying to me. And I just thought, I didn't think it meant necessarily that my husband was coming home now. You know, like I used to like put time. I mean, I've been in this thing 5 years, so I used to put time frames. Oh, he's going to be home by Christmas, and Christmas would come, and I'd fall apart and cry. And now I'm just like, man, whatever, Lord, I'm so surrendered to this. Whenever it happens, however it happens, whatever the process, you know, whatever. But one of the things that he's been saying to me lately is, like, it'll be the middle of the afternoon, and then I'll look around the house, and the Lord will say, walk through the house. What would you do if he came home right now? And then I was like, oh, wow, you know, I started looking around, you know, like I didn't even take a shower today. So, you know, the Lord started in on that. And then he also told me he wanted me to show my kids that I was happy before my husband comes home. Because the Lord's like, I want your kids to know, I want the kids to know that you're happy because of me. Not that you're going to be all happy because your husband comes home, because that's not, he's not the prize, you know, God's the prize, right? So I'm like, all right, so he keeps stopping me, like, are you, you know, what are you showing your children today? You know, are you showing them that you're happy with me, or are you showing them that you're just sitting around waiting for some event to happen, you know? So I don't know, maybe he is getting me ready for him to come home, but the one thing has been that. So thank you, I will pray. I don't even know why I didn't even think about just praying for a restored, you know, sex life, but that is what I'm going to pray for now, so thank you.
You see,
I'd also,
oh, no, go ahead.
I'd also like to recommend the Charlene has two resources that you should check out. One I think is a DVD or a CD that's you can download it too. It's called Sex and the Standard. The second one's a book, After the Prodigal Returns. Check both of those out. They do talk about that. So hopefully you'll find that. But again, always, God is our go-to. So go to God because God's going to help you first and foremost.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen.
I have a question. How did you know, do you have any examples of how you knew that you had made him an idol or your restoration an idol?
I knew I had made him an idol because I was, obviously I was praying for my husband, my marriage to be restored. You mean while he was gone or you mean even during the marriage? Okay, so let me just share this. I felt like if I could really examine my life, my relationship with Christ, even though, like I said, I'm in ministry, so even if I can examine my relationship with Christ after I met my husband, I begin to, you know, really put my, as I begin to look at it, I really did. I begin to really put my husband before my relationship with God. You know, I really did. You know, if it came to my husband in between, you know, maybe I'll miss prayer time or different things like that, but I just knew there was not a balance. I couldn't really pinpoint, like, this for that, but I knew that there was an imbalance on, you know, pursuing my relationship with Christ, even though I was pursuing that, versus really, you know, trying to be everything for my husband, and it still fall apart, you know. But as I begin to really see, like, when he showed me that my husband was an idol, as I begin to pray even for restoration for the marriage, I said, oh, God, restore my marriage, restore my marriage. And he's like, okay, so what about me? Like, what about restore your relationship with me? What about areas that, you know, I want a relationship with you? And we think about that in some foreign term because we think, well, we can see our spouse, but no, God wants the same thing. Do we spend time with him? Do we talk to him? Do we cultivate that relationship? And if I was honest with myself, I really spent more time really cultivating my relationship with my husband versus cultivating time with the Father. And even though I had that time with the Father, there was not a balance. And so I knew he was an idol. I wanted my marriage to work, which we all should want it to work. But as I began to pray about it working, you know, I'm like, okay, so wait a minute. God's like, wait. Of course he wants your marriage to work, but he wants our relationship to work with him. If we can get our heart right and get our posture right with Christ, you know, he can give us, direct us and guide us, you know, and stand for us and intercede for us. But if we're just thinking, I just want, you know, my marriage to be restored, I want my marriage to be restored, and God restores your marriage, and then your husband comes back, and then God is, like, off to the side somewhere. You're like, okay, thank you for restoring my marriage. I'm good now. You know, I knew that my life with Christ could never be, you know, it could not stay the same how I had it when I was with my husband. You know, even as my husband came back, you know, nothing supersedes my time with Christ. Nothing supersedes my relationship with Christ. Even my husband, and he respects that. And not only that, it's driven him, and he's in ministry as well as a preacher. It's driven him to draw more into God and to put those boundaries. No, it's Christ first. It's not Tiana first. It's God first, then me. Like, I mean, so we're very clear now about the order of, you know, our home. Like, it's God first, even before each other. You know, if we put him first in our marriage and our relationship, everything else will fall into place. So,
okay, we have time for one more question, and then we'll wrap it up with prayer. One more. Anybody? Last chance.
Did you refer to your husband as a prodigal, or what are your thoughts on this?
He was definitely a prodigal because he was running so hard. I mean, he was running. He was running from ministry. He's just running from life. Everything, like running from responsibility, running from everything, trying to go. I guess, you know, like you said, you've been married, you know, and you meet somebody new. It seems like, you know, you don't have the same, you know, you haven't had those same issues with that person. It's new. It's fun. It's all those things. And so you think this is a better life. This is where I should go. This is where I'm happy at. But it's not true.
Did you refer to him as that? I mean, but is that what you called him? Or did you call
him? Did I call him that personally, or did I say that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, is that how you refer to him? I know that's what he was.
Oh, absolutely not. Oh, no. No, no, no. No. He probably would have been like, Tiana, what are you doing? He was just against anything I was doing. If I was praying anything, he wasn't with any of that. Like I said, he's a ministry leader. He was like, just don't do it. So absolutely not did I refer to him as a prodigal. But what's funny is when he came back home, We had the exact same stories. You know, he felt like he was a prodigal child. He's a prodigal son. I didn't even have to tell him that. He knew that. He was like, I knew. The Lord kept bringing me the same story back to me about the prodigal son. So he knew it. I definitely didn't refer to him as that. I didn't, you know, that wouldn't have helped our situation at all.
Okay. That's going to wrap up our evening for tonight. Do we have anyone who would like to close? You know, Tiana, I'm going to ask you, if you wouldn't mind. Would you pray for all of us callers on a conference call who are still waiting for our restoration, for our suddenly? And as you pray, would you also bless us with the repeat testimonial of what happened with you? Will also be a prophecy over all of us and our marriages that God will do exactly the same thing with us.
Right, absolutely. Now, I'll be honored to. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, while we're looking for a miracle every day. God, we just thank you, Lord, for the miracle is that we opened up our eyes today. The miracle is that you allowed us to see another day. Father, I just ask that this is not by happenstance that you have me on this phone, that you have these specific people on the phone, that you said this is by divine appointment. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for their life. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for even their strength to be able to stand for their marriages. Father, close their ear, Father God, to every word contrary to what you have said. Lord, make it plain to them. Make their feet steadfast to stand, Father, not just to stand immobile, Father, but to stand and still live and to stand and still be happy and to stand and pursue you like never before. Father, you know their spouses. You know where they are. You supersede time zones. You supersede everything. Father, I ask right now that you would touch every single prodigal spouse connected to this line right now, Father. I pray right now that they'll have an encounter with you where their lives are never the same. Lord, we pray for their salvation, Father, for that, first of all, Father, they will come back to you on fire for you, repenting to you. God, we surrender every weight. Father, every weight of standing, the weight of financial responsibility, the weight of standing, the weight of feeling alone, the weight of the marriage, Father, we surrender it to you today, Father. Make us weightless, Father God. You said that this is your battle. This is not our battle, and today we give it to you, Lord. This is your battle. Fight on their behalf, Father. Let my story, Father, this is not a story about the power of Tiana and what I can do. God, that you said this is the power of what you'll do, Father, if we'll draw into you. Father, may their prayer life never be the same. May their time in the Word never be the same. God, that you'll begin to reveal some things to them about themselves, Lord, things they need to work on, things they need to cultivate. Father, area where they have missed, Father God, to begin to perfect them for their spouses, God. Lord, I just pray right now, God, that they will have a divine intervention with you, where their lives are never the same, that you're doing a great work, not just in their spouses, God, that you're doing a great work with them, Father, and every single naysayer, every person that's against it, Father God, that you, their testimony will be a light for them to say, wait a minute, if the power of God can do this for them in this situation, whatever their situation is, they'll know that nothing is impossible with you with the power of prayer. Father, let them not just pray, God, let them act in faith, let them move, Father, let their actions show that they believe what you said. God, I bind every curse of divorce. I bind every, Father, even generational curses where parents and grandparents have been divorced and this is something that runs in the family. Lord, I just bind it in the name of Jesus. Lord, that it ends with them. Father, that their marriage will prosper. God, that their marriage will prosper, that their children's marriages will prosper, that because they chose to stand even against the odds and because they chose to stand and believe in your word, Father, that you begin it to change their generation. You begin to change whatever curse that was spoken over their family, whatever they've seen, the pattern of their family, they're going to change with their lives because they stood for their marriage, Father, because they stood, because people will see that they stood and you brought their spouses home, Father. You're changing even their children's spouses. You're showing them, Father, even how to minister to their spouses, to their spouses. Father, and I thank you, Lord, that every single person in this line, Father, that you said you've anointed for marriage. Church ministry, Father, that they'll begin to speak into other people, Father, and encourage them. God, where they're weak, God, where they say, I'm too weak to stand, I'm too weak to sit here, Father, God, that you'll strengthen them in every single area, Father, God, that you'll begin to pour into their minds and anoint them for what you call them to do in ministry. God, that this is not just about their spouses, that this is a divine intervention. This is a point that God wants to do within your life. There is something about this moment that your life is going to be different because you encountered this moment. This is not a woe as me moment. This is a moment that your life is changing. This is a moment because you chose to stand, and because this situation happened to you. It didn't happen to you, but God said that it's happening for you. This is happening for you, and that all things, even this, is going to work together for the good. I know you can't see it. I know it looks like it's not going to happen. God said, but this one thing, I can do this just like that. This is just one thing that I'm going to do. But God wants to show you the miraculous in every single day, in every single way, that he wants you guys to carry the glory in every single way. And God, I just thank you, Lord, for just putting us on this line together. God, may they be strengthened where they're weak, Father. You said that you picked up, that their tears are bottled up in heaven, Father, that you know them all, God, that their tears are not in vain, that their prayers are not in vain, that every spirit of doubt we bind it in the name of Jesus. Father, let them keep their eyes on you, Father. Let them not waver. Let them not doubt. God, and I just thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. God, we thank you that you're restoring their marriage. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing it suddenly. We thank you, Lord, that you're turning it around suddenly. God, we thank you, Lord. We surrender it, God. It's not in our control. We can't fix it. We don't have the power to fix it. We don't have the power to change somebody's mind, God. But you, Lord, we know that man plans his steps, God, the plans his life, God. But you orders his steps, God. Order their steps. Order their spouse's steps. God, order their steps. God, lead them back to their husbands and their wives, Father. Not because we're looking to have a husband and a wife, Father, because this is your design for marriage, because your design is marriage, that this is your covenant, Father. You said a threefold cord is not easily broken, Father. May their spouse and you, Father, be a threefold cord, God. Father, right now, mend them together right now. Give them hope. God, you said hope, not that it's a maybe, that it may happen, God, but that an expected end, that it will happen in your timing. God, I thank you, Lord, that you said that even some that have begun to doubt and begin to lose their place in prayer, that tonight, that they'll begin to pray and they'll begin to really put every concern to you in prayer tonight, that you're reviving their prayer life, you're reviving their time in your presence, you're reviving their time in the Word, you're reviving their time in praise. Father God, you said this is a time to praise. God, that you're reviving their time in worship. You're reviving their time, their commitment to you. God, and I just pray that their lives, that this is just a moment. This is just a moment. God, this is going to be a testimony that their lives will never change. You said, Father, that you've seen so many issues throughout the church with people being divorced. But these people on this line, God, that you're raising up a generation of people, Father God, where they'll see the glory of God because they begin to stand for their marriage. They will see that we will have another testimony, that testimonies will begin to flood churches, will begin to flood ministries, will begin to flood all over the place of people that decided to stand and not quit, people that didn't give up even when it got tough. God, people that showed the grace of God. And, Lord, as their spouse begins to come back, Lord, give them grace. Show them how to give them grace. God, the same grace you've given us, show them how to give them grace. Father, let every worry and every concern about the other person, Father God, begin to take every place of pain away. Even get the time that we spend in thought about that, God, Father, erase the pain of that area, Father God. Keep them focused on what you have designed for them to do, on their families, on their children, on their jobs, on their future. God, believing that you're going to do the impossible, not just for me, God, not just for Charlene, not just for that person, but that you're going to do it for them, that it's not a maybe, that you'll do it, that the promises of God are yes and amen. They're yes and amen. And I say tonight that it's yes over your marriage. It's yes. It's yes and amen. And it shall be done, and it shall not be otherwise. Father, begin to touch their spouses right now, Father. Begin to touch their minds right now. Even begin to touch them right now, Father. Begin to show them. Begin to show them. Begin to show them. Show them how to communicate. Show them how to communicate with their spouses. Show them how to speak with their spouses. Show them, Father, every single area of concern, God, that you'll begin to turn it around. Because you said, Lord, that marriage is a ministry. That marriage is ministry. That you design marriage as a ministry. Father, that God, that because they chose to stand, God, that their lives will never be the same. I believe it so, and it shall not be otherwise. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tiana.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amen.
God bless everyone for coming on the conference call. We'll see you next week. We'll see you on the prayer wall. God bless everyone.
God bless you. Tiana.
Good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye. Good night.
God bless.